Susan F. from the Dulles Corridor.
I'm Susan, I'm a recovering addict.
Hi, Susan.
Uh-oh. Oh, it's a cheat sheet, but only for a few words. I just celebrated 25 years in recovery, which means that we do recover. And when I was in my truly sick time to now, I'm grateful for God and this program to bring me this far. It's amazing. It's truly a miracle. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the beginning. I have not a very exciting, eventful thing to tell you guys. I mean, we all go through the same thing. I started with a very dysfunctional family. When I was young, I didn't have a mother that showed, you know, affection. Obviously, she didn't have it when she was young. I can only believe that that's why we didn't get it. There were five of us. None of us really were wanted. You know, we were accidents, I guess, because back then, you know, the thing popped and, you know, it just happened by accident. So they were just being made, perhaps. The pill wasn't working very well or whatever that. So when you have five kids in less than 5 years, you kind of go like a maniac. I know that I would. So at that time, I didn't understand that, but I do today. But because I didn't get loved and affection, and I was the middle child, which is not a good excuse, but to me it was a pretty good one, I allowed my brother to, well, when you're five or six, it's not like allowing, it's like, okay, fine, kind of mess around with me. Not the intercourse word, but do things with me that I didn't know was wrong at that time. And it was affection, and it felt good, you know. So as I grew to a little older and older, I became silly, and, like, you'd come over, some friends would come over, little young kids, and I would strip and go, oh, look at me, you know, thinking that that was okay and stuff like this. I don't know if anybody else did that. But my cousin told me when I was 40, when he came over to visit, I always did that to him. And I was like, no way. But, you know, you learn things when you get older from old people that been around you at that time. And because of this, you know, it really did feel good. You know, those things, you know, as you get older, you know how really good they feel. But it felt good. And as I got a little older, and I'm going to jump to when I was like 14, I believe probably was the last time I allowed my brother to touch me. By then, as we know, I was full of shame, and incest was the word, even though, yeah, and, you know, I still don't think that's a strong word. You know, we didn't do that word, I said. So, you know, and I didn't think that was sexual abuse unless you had that word done to you. Do you know what I'm saying? So even until I was 10 years clean, I was told that, yeah, you were sexually abused. No, I didn't, you know, he didn't make me. I wasn't threatened and all that, so it's taken a long time to process that, and okay, I'll go with it. But we go back to that time again when that shame came about, and that was the first. And I was a problem child. I always whined, and they sent me to a psychiatrist because I was something wrong with me. And, of course, he didn't change a thing. I continued to be just like I was. And at that time, I was not an addict. I grew on to be in high school, and I, you know, I can't tell you my whole entire life story, but in high school, I was a Jesus freak because my sister was the queen of the school. She was the head cheerleader. I didn't have a name. I was Sharon Shalley's little sister, which I grew up with for a long time. She's very beautiful, and I had buck teeth when I was in high school until I got into 10th grade. I mean, you know, I wasn't like a beauty like she was, and I was very self-conscious about that. And so I grew up like behind my sister, but I became a Jesus freak. not only because I needed to get out of the house, because I came from this dysfunctional family where my mother continuously verbally abused me, like, you know, you're stupid and you're not smart enough. And I was in trouble all the time, confined to the house because I didn't make better grades, you know, D's, and mostly D's. And so I was considered stupid. And sometimes she'd get angry. She cussed at us, and I was a slut bitch and a whore. And just like, you know, but that was just a common word, you know. I didn't know what that exactly meant until I was a little older, and then that was, like, strange because I hadn't quite done all of that. But then the shame came up because I had let my brother touch me. And so I became the Jesus freak, and that was to get me out of the house. And I spent a lot of time at the church and helping, you know, other kids to experience the thing I had experienced with. And so I went around and talked, and then I'd come home. When I'd go away for the weekends, my mother would call me a hypocrite because I'd come home sad, but when I was gone, I was so ecstatic and happy. And so she quit letting me become that lay witness mission, the stuff I did at that time. And so I was pretty much a flower child because the only people that accepted me were people that were hippies, the people that used dope, but I was never going to do that. But they accepted me, whereas in high school, those people saw me coming, and it was like, here she comes, let's take a walk around, you know. And but these people accepted me, these addicts. They were wonderful, wonderful people. And they didn't tell me that I had to use. They never said I had to use. Am I stronger now? More powerful? I'm feeling it. They didn't tell me. They didn't make me have to use, you know. And so I just loved being loved. It was so cool. I mean, you know, addicts can love each other until they get stingy with their stuff, and then, you know, then they want some money or they want a little bit of something else. But so after a while, you know, I finally decided I was going to try something. Actually, it was when my boyfriend didn't show up in my senior year, because I was the person that was the main character in a play that was being done, and he didn't come, and I was really livid, and I walked out the door and got in his car and said, "Why weren't you there?" And he said, "Here, take these." And it was two Seconals. Back then, they were called Seconals. They were downers. A lot of us know what that is. But for you young kids, you might not know that word. But that was my first experience with sex, the intercourse word. And I don't remember it, but I'm sure it was really good because, you know, because I had to be really good. And I was, you know, probably asleep, because when you take two Seconals for the first time and you go to sleep, you don't like, wow, this feels good, because you're asleep, right? So so anyway, that was the beginning and of the sex, okay? Of the sex I call sex, okay? And then I watched him shoot dope, and I would never do that, you know? I would never do that. That was, you know, not really cool. So I started on shooting dope. That was the beginning of my drug addiction. If he could do it, I could do it too. And I did it when he wasn't around with the people that he did it with, without him knowing, because, you know, what, I want to get a piece of this pie. You know, what is this stuff? And so I started with crystal meth, and I loved it. And I probably shouldn't say what I started with. I started with that, and I'm a pretty talkative person. I'm high energy now, but I don't take it anymore. But back then, it was like really double trouble for everybody that had to be around me. But I went on to bigger and better things, and I went through some stuff. When at that time, I played the guitar and sang for a living, and I had to quit. I made money. I got kicked out of the house at 17 because my mother made me choose between her and him, and he had, you know, a little bit more to offer than she did. And so I left in paper bags. And I went to this, you know, I went to his house to stay. Well, his parents are, you know, very religious, and I wasn't allowed to stay in the house. But he had this outside basement that you can lock it from the outside and go in. So he locked me in there, needless to say, with all the cockroaches in there. I never did that again. And I finally got my own place, and I supported myself with singing and using dope, you know. And I went on to so many things, and alcohol as well. And I became a bartender at the early age. And at that time, 18, it was legal to drink. And I had the best drugs because I became a dealer, because I didn't want to have to pay for my stuff. I had the best drug because in the beginning I didn't know you could cut it. And then I learned, of course, after it was going too quick. And I started to cut it, and I started to use it, and I was doing so well. And during these times, there were times that I was so messed up. I remember one guy who was a boyfriend of mine. He used to pistol whip me. And I thought that was a normal thing. I would hide, and then he had this sawed-off shotgun, and he would be high on, God, I don't know, downers, and he had to have downers, but he would try to unload his sawed-off shotgun, and the springs would go all over the place. And then I would get in trouble because he lost the springs to the gun and couldn't put it back together. And these are little, that's a little thing, but back then, it was like scared. I mean, I'd run and get under the cover. Well, then I'd move on to the next guy. Always dealers. You know, they were the best. And it didn't matter what they looked like because you could get messed up, and it didn't matter. And so these times, let's see. I found myself one time waking up where I was hitchhiking and waking up in a hotel room where five guys were there. And they weren't talking to me, and we weren't having any kind of discussion. And, you know, that was a pretty traumatic thing to me. And I became a slut, a bitch, and a whore. And I had become my mother's reality. Is that the right word? And many things like that happened. At the bartender, I used to pick my guys for the night. They may have a date. Okay, well, I'd, you know, say, come on over here, and I'd say, when you drop her off, can you just come back and meet me afterwards, 2 o'clock? And I'd take them home, and this happened constantly, over and over, every week, because I couldn't emotionally get involved with anybody. You know, after a week or 2 weeks with the same guy, you know, it got old. And I also played the game with them, you know, and I couldn't do that. It had to be that. And so I would play the game of having them come to the house. And if it wasn't working out in the beginning before it started, I'd get sick at my stomach or I'd have to vomit. Some of you women know what I'm talking about. And, I mean, that was very important to me. If I was going to share my dope, I had to get what I wanted, you know. And, many, many years, I shot dope. And, you know, today people say, that's Susie Cream Cheese. She never did anything like that. Well, let me tell you. Only for 18 years. And there's so many people in here had did. Well, I did it 35 years. Well, I started late. I was like 17 because I graduated 17. It was before I graduated. It was 17. And I only lasted to 34. Was when I got clean, you know? And it doesn't matter how long you do it, but it's amazing how many people come in here and they started, you know, at 12 and it's just amazing. And for me, how many times did we OD? How many times do you end up in the hospital with your stomach pumped? Hello? Every time I got upset with my boyfriend that I had in the moment, I would shoot, you know, and try to, I would just try to kill myself because that was the only answer. I needed love, and I needed love from anybody that met me. I still need that, but for a different reason. Or maybe it's the same reason, but a different way. So what has happened to me, and there's so much I wanted to say about, you know, my hardcore things that really did happen. That maybe not be hardcore, but for me, my experience was, it was very traumatic for me. And for me to get clean was amazing. You know, I never thought that I'd ever get clean. You know, I also had quite a few abortions. Well, how could I live with that? How could I live with, being gang raped? How could I live? And that wasn't a gang rape to me, because that was my fault. You know, and we all have that guilt, but it was my fault. So I was high and he did this. So it's not, you know, it's not my, what am I saying? It was their fault. No, it was my fault. See, I'm getting mixed up. It was my fault it happened. That's correct. That's exactly what I'm trying to say, and my brain is going faster than I can keep up with. So when I first decided to get clean, I went to move from Texas to Washington area in Northern Virginia, where my mother lived. I was 34 years old. And they allowed me to live with them as long as I went to meetings. I never went to I went to a treatment center one time. They kicked me out after 4 days. But that was the most I'd ever have in a treatment center. But my mom and dad had heard from me in August, and I asked, I'm trying to get clean. Can I come and live with you guys so I can get my life, you know, back together? And they said, okay, you can come back if you go to meetings and you do what you need to do to stay clean. And I said, okay. During that time, I had gotten down to where I lived in a place that had no longer, it was up for some kind of resale. I wasn't paying rent. Nobody came after me. I had all my electricity turned off. I had the water turned off. I got water from a water hose from across the street. To fill up the toilets and buckets of water. And I went to friends' house to take showers. And I had a fireplace that I had wood that I'd put in, and I would have light at night. And through my sick time, and I was still using, I used the firelight to try to do stuff. And I couldn't even do it in the first place because everything was gone in my body. I had no more veins, but I would abuse myself over and over, and abscesses and everything, and it was just completely crazy. And I quit my job because I was totally unable to work anymore, my bartending job. And then I had to start selling things so that I could continue to use until I could get out of this place and go live with my parents. My parents never heard a word from me at all and didn't know if I was alive or dead until December 24th. At this time, I showed up with $7 in my pocket, and I had enough gas. I don't know how much I started out with, but I ended up with $7 in my pocket. I stopped at a CVS store. It was Christmas Eve, and I knew where they lived, so I knew that they were going to be there. And so I went to CVS, and I got a box out of the trash, and I put together a top that would go on the box, and then I bought wrapping paper and a bow. You know those big red bows you can get for $2.99? Oh, dear. So anyway, I got clean, and I don't have much time. I've been talking too much about my past. Anyway, I came to live with them, and through the grace of God and the program, I started to get clean. I had no self-worth, no self-esteem. And I listened to self-help tapes every single day going to work. I had a 45-minute drive, and I'd listen to self-help tapes to help me get self-esteem and self-worth and believe in myself and believe that I could do it, because I did not like myself like most of us when we came in this program. I got a sponsor, 2, 3, maybe 10, because they always told me that I couldn't do the things that I thought I should be able to do. And so I finally did get a sponsor after all was said and done, but a good one. And so after 2 years, I found a man that I married who's not in the program, who's not who's never used or had any problems. He's pretty much of a nerd and somebody I would never have picked, who loved me, who accepted me the first time I met him. I told him my whole story. How often do we do that? You meet somebody and you want to tell him everything. And so you do. You just let it all hang out in hopes that he still likes you. Well, he did. And I tried for so long to get him, this little man, I would attack him so that he would leave me as we lived together. And this was before we got married. Then we got married. He says, I love you. You're not scaring me away. I continued to go to meetings always and over and over. I did a lot of service. Service is what saved my life. It saved my life for you guys who don't know how to write, who don't know how to read, who don't know how to do any of those things like I didn't when I came in the program. I did service, and it saved my life. So please do service. And so then I got married. I had two kids. I had so many abortions. How did I deserve two kids? My kids never saw me use, and today they're 18 and a half and 20, and my daughter has just begun to experiment with alcohol. It makes her feel good, she says. That's a hard one for me, but she's going to college, and she needs to experience some stuff before she gets there and goes wild. So I'm not saying anything as long as she doesn't come home drunk and she doesn't drive. I mean, I say things, but... So anyway, I've called my sponsor all these years. I've done so much service. This year we're doing the convention on the merchandise chair, which is like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm worth something doing that. It's just it's such a wonderful experience for me. I pray all the time. I ask for God's grace. I have so much. I have the white picket fence and the kids and the car that's paid off and the house is paid. You know, I've been gifted with so much, and I talk so much about my other stuff. I should have gone into this. I forget, you know, you ramble and you're not watching the time, and I have been so blessed. I mean, you guys, we do recover. You come in here, you pray, you get a sponsor, you do the next right thing, and you do it over and over again, and guess what? Things are going to happen. If you just say, God, I really need this, you know, it's going to happen. It may not happen right then in your time, but it's going to happen. And you better watch out. You know, I asked for kids, and guess what? I got them. You know, I asked for a man who I never thought I'd ever get married, and I got a man who married me. You know, these are gifts of the programs. And staying clean 25 years after the things that I have done today, again, like I said in the beginning, it's a miracle. And people love me, and they don't go like this anymore. And I hug everybody, and they call me the love bug and Susie Cream Cheese. And trust me, I'm such a cream cheese today. And I love life. I'm a happy, silly, lucky. I mean, I can't tell you my age because it's a little bit up there, but I'm a goofy person. And the reason why, and honestly, the reason why I look so young, don't I look young, yes, is because I act young, and I'm so in love with life today, and I love people. And my husband says, how can you hug so many people? You don't give me that many hugs. Because there's so many people, and it saves my life. Every single day I'm grateful for this, and I'm so grateful that I'm up here today, and I'm so grateful that he said that God will take care of me up here. It's a God thing that I got put here. So with that, I'm going to let you go. I love you so much. Come buy some merchandise. We want to sell out this weekend, and we intend to. Love you.
Let's thank Susie again for sharing. Great job. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Larry T. from the Baltimore area.
I'm an addict named Larry. I'm clean through God's grace. And I honor people to carry the message, and we do recover. It ain't that serious. Y'all need to loosen up. It ain't that serious, because I got an end-of-the-road story in the program. If you're a newer member, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. If you came here for the weekend because you was confused, welcome. If you don't know why you here, welcome. If you here out of desperation, that's good, because this is the greatest show on earth. All right? for the newer member. You better remember the end of the road. Let me share this. This is a We Do Recover topic. The text talks about when we put the drug down. So you need to get that hit first here. You can't practice nothing here if you don't put the drug down. But we allow you to keep coming. So don't get confused in here. You got to put a stop on something to get this. I'm talking about this addict. So if you're a newer member, just welcome. Just keep coming. Don't let nobody trick you or going out of here because of their beliefs. When I got clean, they said that an addict tends to live what they believe. So I had to change my belief system. But I had to put the drug down first. I'm grateful to God and the God of my understanding that you got to be able to live inside your own skin and even in through the rough times. I use drugs. Now, if you're a newer member, my choice of drugs is drugs. I ain't got no particular drug I use when I'm using. Because when you get here and do recovery, there might be some other using going on, if the truth be told. I don't come to play around. I ain't going to dance around. I take commitment seriously. If you don't, wait till they call you. Even if they don't, you're supposed to show up at an NA meeting. Meeting makers make it. My definition of what I saw in Webster's regular mean every day. I like to come here on the weekends. I don't know which 2 days, so I come every day. Because this is a serious disease that will set you up. So when we learn how to cover sponsorship, it's the heartbeat of this program. Only fools don't have sponsors. I ain't got too big. I got a ritual. Every time I leave town, I call my mother and my sponsor. I ain't got to tell you I do that. I better make sure I do that. You don't have to check in with people that ain't checking in. Your image and ego won't get you in recover. It's some stuff you got to be willing to do. You got to be able to practice some discipline. You got to be willing to give something up you like. And you got to identify you like it before you give it up. And if you ain't God, if God ain't in that, you're going to keep practicing it. That's just my experience. Don't get mad with me. So when you get spiritual maturity and recovery, you become willing to let stuff go. You begin to see yourself in a different light. You begin to get self-esteem when your esteem is low and it ain't all the time high. You got to be able to live with the literature talk about with or without. Because you're going to get a whiff out. Everybody going to get a whiff out. If it ain't money, you're going to get a whiff out your heart being broke or being lonely or whatever. And I experienced things in recovery that I'd be able to survive my emotions because 12-step members just go through the rough times. Ain't nothing you can put on it. You can't sell it. You can talk to 85 people. You still got to go through. You share your ass off, have this big Gucci message, you got to go through. You can shop to it. You can deal with it. You can have 7 mates. You still going to have to go through. Now, that's my experience. In early recovery, in latter recovery, till I hit bottoms with self and don't like me, I can't change nothing. So if you're a newer member, we try to keep you close, and we can only carry the message. We can't carry the addict. If I come to you 3 or 4 times, you want to practice your will, that's your will. Even though I might want to make you get this like I did, you got to be willing. So, you know, just for what I call an NA risk, you know, something you didn't intend on sharing that you can try to put in your hip pocket. All that surface shit can't keep you in We Do Recover. You got to uncover some stuff. You understand where I go at, they talk about the real deal. I don't know what other people do. I don't know how you feel about living. I don't know what your issues are. Everybody got them. You got to put something on it. I ain't putting no hit on no goddamn disease or none of that shit. I got to deal with my feelings and emotions. And every addict in here ain't going to have to do that. Can't nobody here save you from yourself. That's my experience. I had a flash. I had a what I call an AIDS flash, hot flash, old time recovery flash 2 hours ago. I said, I don't even know where I'm at. And that's in the step process with the knowledge, service, work, and a sponsor. So you stepologists, work with that for a minute. So, but the bottom line is being grateful. Grateful, you had to participate with being grateful. You just can't just say it. You got something to do. So, you know, in due recovery, it's a lot of stuff. And what I'm touched with, you know, the end of the road don't have to be the stop using process, because you get another end of the road with time clean. Now, last time I checked, I mean, I'm a literature person. If you don't study, you might miss yourself, and you might not be able to help yourself. If your text is old, you probably ain't picked it up. But see, what I do, I need something to come in between me and my thinking, and you should be challenged here by people that challenge where you at in your life. You should be able to raise the bar when you don't want to raise it, even in a low time. You got to live through stuff. Did anybody have debt in their family before and wonder how you was going to figure that shit out? It really wasn't nothing to figure out. You was going to have to deal with it. You was going to have to rock, hurt, look like you're going crazy, be crazy, go to the meeting, pray it don't pick up. It ain't no skip with this hit. You don't skip shit here. And we don't need to fill new members' belief system with that. You go through. How they going to get experience if we ain't bringing it in the meeting? This happened to be a convention day. Let me forget that I'm the only drug free. I ain't drug proof. To recover, I got to be consistent in my recovery. I don't have to be a real smart guy. I had to be consistent and do this every day. Every day. If I don't like it, do it anyway. This is a life-saving hit. That's why the literature talks about when we put the drugs down. When we put the drug down. So the addict that's a potential addict ain't put it down, we still supposed to keep them in their hip pocket. You got to have them where they be in a posture where they come in. So you got to go in so they can come in. Then you got to work some steps. You got to deal with the ugly part of addiction, untreated addiction. You got to deal with the hidden and fourth step to ask you, are you still using sex for love? And the answer 4 or 5 times might be yes. Y'all got to do your own shame. See, with this, you got to have people in your life that don't care. They care enough about you, not worry about your image and ego, and they can tell you shit, and that's you, and you better deal with that, because if you're the sharpest knife in your drawer, you need a new drawer. When I'm going to get me some help. Because this is about life-saving stuff. The newer member don't know. The guy with the 4 and 5 days don't know really, literally, what he's going through yet. We're supposed to be there for him. Get out of self. Ain't all about tooting your damn horn. What's going to happen if the horn don't blow? You got a lot of stuff, but you got to get rid of a lot of stuff to be in redo recovery. You got to move all that baggage out you was carrying around for years that kept you using any drug. You better got to be able to go get the little boy, too, because he act out in my life. I'm one decision away right now. I didn't say yesterday. See, I do this to keep my sanity. You got to do this so you can be moving them into some sanity and not always in insanity. You got to be able to be free enough that you can tell anything here. I've been listening to me, y'all telling these newcomers that everything ain't for Shannon and me. I already know you ain't picked up all these texts. Shit, you got to share about the boy you knocked down and the girl you slept with, all that shit. How you going to get free if you still captured by a secret? God want to know, can you go deep enough to get your ass out the way? How deep can you go here? Are you going to sacrifice? You going to give up your old selfish ways? Are you going to help people? I mean, you should be an on-call recovering addict. Telling people you got two jobs. I got one. Recovering. If I don't do it, I'm going to die. They told us, grow up or die. Just like I'm saying it. And they didn't care nothing about your feelings. They told, don't you share for a while because you contaminating the meeting, son. Sit down. So I come from recovery where they didn't let you escape. I was escaping already. All that stuff I did to use the drugs. You got to be able to see that, and you can't see it unless you do step work. You putting all that shit on your mother. Your mother ain't do nothing. My mother was not in the gallery with me. Trust me. Oh, I stole her peace. I didn't have no peace with the real deal. I didn't have one grainer. I didn't like myself at all. And then when you have traits in your character, you're supposed to get to the character building part of your life to get to where you do recover. I like to do a lot of things, but some things it's got late in the game. You got to be honest with yourself as possible here. You can't let other people bring you your honesty. You got to go get it. Ain't no shame if you be the first one to crack what you're doing. It's not at all. I hate to tell you, if you knew all the time, you can't look good doing this. Don't get caught up in the mic. When you get up here, you got to share. People don't want to hear that little crazy stuff. So when you say they don't pick me, wait till they pick you and you come up here and share. You bring your guts up here when you come, too. You got to share a little boy, little girl. I didn't like me today. I'm broke. I don't feel right. I feel ugly. I'm going out my mind. And still be a recovering addict. You got to take the mask off. People not impressed with what you got here. Some people forget that your car is not recovering. Your body and mind and spirit is. And if you don't get to that part, you're going back. So you can be cute here and run around and want to be the hoe. The hoe get a whipping head too, you know. So we recover from that. Some people ain't willing even to look at that. That's crazy-ass behavior. You got three girlfriends. I mean, that's what the guy told you. You got three girlfriends, and you get all them girls' money, and they driving your ass crazy. You need to feel what you need to feel. And if you ain't did that yet, I ain't even talking to you. This message, this part of the message might be for people that had experience already. Maybe we did it for you. So that's sharing material. I'm not worrying about that. I'm too feeling good part of my life because certain behaviors I had to feel bad to do it. Y'all didn't miss that, did you? I ain't feeling that bad. You ain't gonna get me caught up in your wilderness. And all my stuff is up for revision. Let me keep it real with you. I can share and my disease meet me right at that exit sign, right there. Shit, it could be activated in the room right now. So the liturgy talks about when we put the drug down. Because see, when you don't share about putting it down, you don't know when the stop is coming. It says, when we put the drug down, the addict works the program. And if you don't work the program, you ain't going to get the stop. This is life-saving stuff. I didn't make this up. This text right here is from 1981. I still study out it. So when you don't see somebody doing something, don't be judgmental, because you might have to fire them to go get what you need for your gut. Because if you don't get what's out of there, in there, out of there, it's going to regurgitate and it's going to come up on you. And you ain't going to have no program. You ain't going to like you. Your wife ain't going to like you. Your children ain't going to like you. Because you ain't one got you yet. We talking about the real deal. We talking about when God put adversity right in your path to see if you can recover. You got to have a foundation. Foundation recovery is developing the first three steps. But you can't get the message unless you go get the other nine. This ain't no cha-cha-cha. So, you know, it's practice, you know. That available to practice the principles. You know what? I was in a situation about 2 days ago where somebody said something to me, and because I'm practicing something, you know, one of my sponsors, he ain't even here. He just said, boy, that boy ain't practicing nothing. I said, well, you need to stay near him so to help him, you can practice something. Since you think you got it like that. And somebody said something about me, but it didn't reserve a response. When you know you are, you ain't got to go through a whole lot about what people say. Really, it ain't none of your business. You know, but you got to feel it. Now, I didn't say you didn't have to feel it. I didn't say that. Because when you knew, you feel everything. You think everybody talking about you. You're watching every door, every corner. You got to be able to get free of your guilt here. And there's certain things we do here to get free of it. You got to be able to see yourself coming, which takes extensive work on your character. You know how people say they got character defects? Which they are correct. You got to learn how to do stuff that builds character. Just can't stay trapped. That's why it's important to ask God. Because when I'm doing stuff, I can show up in anything in my life. It's a spooky thing when people think they can't do this because they want to hide out. Sometimes you got to raise the bar and do stuff here and expose the disease on a large level so everybody know you and get you some help. My sponsor and my sponsees know who I am, and some other people do too. So that way, what I do can't hurt me because it's got more exposure to it than discovery. We talking about what you going to do? Now that Joe Blow don't want you, what are you going to do? Because that's going to happen to people. Some people didn't quit me, and I was mad and hurt. Look at me coming to meeting with the other dude, and I had to work the steps to die. The people don't get nothing about that. They made a decision. I wasn't their decision. I'm clear on that. But after you get a couple of go-throughs of that, you understand that that might have been for that period of time. You got to be able to face reality here. It's necessary. You ain't no Don Juan and that Mac and shit and all that. You're going to get brought to your knees here. Now, I'm telling you by experience. I ain't telling you nothing I heard. All right, you're going to Mac, all right. You're going to get broken. So when we do recover, you know, sometimes, you know, you get to what they call low self-esteem. I'm talking about this at it. You can have everything in a row. You can have everything you need. But sometimes your conscience will put you in a place and say, I ain't really that good enough. Now, I know I ain't the long range in this area. And then you feel yourself more because you concentrated on just your thinking. And everybody has the ability to change their thinking. So if you're a newer member, remember that. When you think about the dope, think about us, come to the meet. People got plenty of iPhones. You need to get on and find where we're getting the message at. Because if you go, that iPhone is for sale. So if you're a newer member, this is Narcotics Anonymous. We're supposed to be alive and free here. You're supposed to be me. Everybody's supposed to be on equal opportunity with their willingness. And you, if you don't have God yet, keep coming. Don't let nobody put you in a box. Don't. If they tell you shut up, ask them why. Because I'm trying to get the message. Now, that's sufficient to me. I'm old school recovery. They told us shut up. We sit down. And we didn't say nothing else. We didn't say a word. Because when we was talking, they told us you can't hit nothing. What I did damn near killed me. You can do that today. Can you imagine that when you get in your thought process, what you did to you damn near killed you? How about late recovery? When the girl looked good and you told her, well, my version of my insanity is say, shit, she don't look like she got nothing. Now, I know some people been down that road, some men, they ain't gonna share, but I'm gonna help you. I looked at her and said, she don't look like she has nothing. Now I'm a doctor. So if you're a newer member, I believe in keep it real, straight to the point. We work steps, we change, we get adversity. Something going to happen. You're going to lose your job after years like I did. The house might go. Three, four members in your family going to die. You had to walk through the valley where your home group is. Son got killed in the alley. Brother and sister on this side in the church. Can you still make the meeting? We're going to look at that. Can you still get there? Are you just the most important person in your life, or are you a 12-step member? You still sham about what you need to do, or are you reaching back for the newcomer? Are you doing that? Because if you ain't helping somebody here sometime, your whole purpose might be lost. Telling people, don't nobody know where you live at. How are they going to get to you? Suppose they sell a phone they use and the man trying to connect with you to get the treatment. How is he going to get to you? Your life's so big a secret, don't nobody know what the hell you're doing after 20 years? That means disease done put another hole in your ass. I'm talking about me, so let's check it. I can hide out here too now. And I can get caught. And most of the time I did. That's when the message started getting plain. When you get trapped, you know you can be trapped by a body where the mind don't give a damn. You can get trapped with years clean in the step process, thinking you got it going on, and guess what? Your disease is active. So you need to know what kind of sham you're listening to. You need to know when you're trying to help the newcomer. Leave that insanity out sometime and bring the hope. You can't insanity them to death. They want some freedom. This is what we do here. You can be smart, 20 degrees, I don't care. The name of this hit is When We Put the Drug Down. That's what the literature says. You walk around here reading every text everywhere else, and we got texts. I didn't mean to go that way on you, but I'm going to have to put it out there. And if you got dust on yours, you ain't been practicing. That's why it's important for me to stay locked in his and stay connected here. Ain't going to be none of that shit where I don't go to meeting for a month. I'll be clean and crazy. And I've been that way working the steps. That's a bad feeling, Jack, when you're looking for you and you don't even know where you at. You got health issues, you got to go to the doctor, and you got crazy behavior when you go to the doctor, you hold your damn breath and hope. And hope you ain't got nothing when you come out. That's a hope hit too. Because your behavior messed up. I done got the shit slapped out of me because of my behavior. My wife didn't care nothing about that. She say, I shouldn't have married you and slapped the shit out. And being that I was guilty, I had to tell her to keep coming back. When somebody's wrong, if I wrap it up, when you're wrong, you got to be able to accept your wrongs here. How can you justify wrongdoing? You can't. Your conscience tell you, you know you dirty, and she caught you, just keep it moving. You should start cleaning up around the house immediately. That's just part of my experience. And when you recover, you become acceptable and responsible in life situations. And this society, you got to get it in here first. You go out in the world, you get your ass kicked with no steps. I'm just keeping it real with you. You got to be able to change in here and get what the message is, and you can go out there. This ain't got nothing to do with your job. That's just where your employer is. That's where you earn your money. You can't earn a spirit unless you have a spiritual change. So if you're a newer member, this ain't playtime. We don't set this up to play. We set it up to heal. This ain't dance around. We're going to dance later. But you can die tonight. One bad decision, we can go on to your funeral. And my mother and him, I already told him, if I hold you, don't put down that he was a good dude. Put that he put it in him and died. Because she ain't going to, she like me, she come from the place where we keep it real. She tell me, were you going out of town again? I said, I think you better let me go out of town, because years ago I wasn't going nowhere but on the corner. So if you're a newer member, we just do sharing here. It ain't personal. If you took it personal, you probably could relate and everyone tell us. We understand it. Literally, I got a program, so I'm going to help you, but I can't carry your issues. I can help you explore them. I can help you touch them. You got to have the willingness. We carry the message here, not the attic. So if you're a newer member, I was just sharing. Don't beat me up. I got freedom. I don't even care. Because when you free, can't nothing cut you, can't nothing beat you, can't nothing rob you but you. You can't say my girlfriend, your girlfriend ain't did nothing to you. That was you. You signed up for it. Stop putting your issues on people and address them. Tell my child she ain't shit. You ain't either. If you sharing with it, you know you can relate. So we get free in here. Freedom ain't free. And when we do recover, you got usually in the step process, when you're working through, I've been listening to some people in love, respect, that I'm in touch with. I saw that with my own belief system. But you got to be lined up with people that's in a spiritual program. You got to be able to respect other people's opinions and issues and answers. Now, that take a program. You know this boy crazy, but he just told you you shouldn't do nothing. Then you got an exam. You can call your sponsor. You run it through your network and say, that motherfucker crazy. I'm not listening to him. But you got to check and make sure. See, that's when your ego and image come in. You better run it through some other folk that you don't frequent with, that's not in your network, to get you some help outside of what you know. You know, ain't nobody got this all in a row. This is just for the day. This is a daily reprieve. All them people that's too smart for this program usually get white keychains. And because we got programs, we leave the damn light on for them. We wait till they come back in and out and in, because we 12-step members. We ain't even mad with them. Just do what we ask you to do. Get you a seat. You walking around thinking you slick and all that. Slick people don't stay here. You got to change. You got to change. You got to give up everything you don't like about this stuff. It's crazy sometimes. When you don't like yourself, stuff start breaking out. Like it start with one bad idea, one bad thought. When people speak to you, that don't mean they want you. You know I got to tell myself that, right? The girl spoke to you and you like, yes, look like I saw a deer. You know, you got to check people's track record and their story here. She married, You ain't got enough money for it. You can't take care of her or her children. So that's a bad decision. You got to ask people for their tape and their track record. The tape is what you hear them share in the meeting. You can subgroup and share with them all night. Go to their anniversary or go to their home group. That's a valuable tool of recovery. Sitting around looking all pretty and get trapped. That's just some of my lessons with Time Clean I've learned. I ain't no dummy. I buy into my own insanity. And other people do it, but they want to share about other people. What you doing? Let me hear what you doing. Since you sharing about me, you might can help me. Let me do some more sharing. See, we old school recovery where I come. Just keep it real. We don't want to hear all that crap. And the girl, what you do? Stop talking about the girl. We learned that years ago. Shut up. Keep putting it on your old lady and the girl. Wait, but you invisible? Weren't you there? You had a part. That's to clean your gut out recovery process. Share your ass off about yourself and try to implement, if you knew that means to put in the program. We got to keep it so they can touch it, so they can feel it, so they can see it. Show up in a meeting. Don't get so goddamn cute you can forget what your home group is. Remember, been there used 3 times. You ain't even been there in 2 months. But you, when your anniversary comes, you knocking the door down. I'm recovering addict and make meetings regular. I need it for my own sanity. I help people, live with people. And look, I don't even diagnose them. If they crazy, I'll work with them and make sure I don't go crazy. But a part of me is a crazy by identification. Similarities. You can start to judging people. You'll miss yourself here. Shit. Don't work with no people in critical condition to see what kind of program you got. You working and working and working, and you need to go to the damn mirror and keep working. You need to work on a person in the mirror. You got to like you when you don't have no false teeth, no nothing. Your hair's knotty. You can't go to the barbershop. None of that shit. You got to like you in that posture. You got to have a particular thing on for your love to come in. This is a priceless gift. So if you knew, I try to give you everything I got because that's what I do. I don't know what other members do. I ain't got time to play and dance around and act like I ain't recovering and I ain't messed up before. I ain't made multitude of mistakes. That's how we get to the healing process here. You can't heal unless you hurt. If you don't work no steps, you stay stuck. You don't work with no sponsor. The sponsor say when you ready. And when if he keeps saying when you ready, that means you ain't doing nothing. So when you making love and all that shit, the novelty will wear off. Trust me. Then you got to work with self. That's my experience. So if you're a newer member, we love everybody. It's a good convention. I'm glad they asked me. I've been coming down here 26 years in a row. Because that's what we do. We support each other. We love it. We love people even in their sickness. Let's keep it real. Everybody, if you act out, we got to have the people on this side so we can go to them. We ain't in our right state of mind. Some people get this disease that was 1 second at a time. Act like, I'm all right. Yeah, I know. You in here with us. You want to do the sharing now or later? Shit, I ain't never all right. I'm better. I'm all right with myself for the minute because I got people around me don't let me escape, even if I want to. Plus, I got to do the sharing for my accents come in. You know how you might be trapped? I'm going to sit down. You can get trapped and go back to old realities with Time Clean, and we do recover. Stuff will start looking good, and the girl you said was ugly, she becomes attractive. You talked all that shit about it, so the shoes would run over, all kind of shit. So here she come with a new idea. Now, she look good. She never looked bad. It was your perception. How the hell are you going to judge somebody you want to sleep with? You got to keep it real here. If you ain't real here, you can miss yourself in this. It's too many people got so much business that the sickness is in their business. Got business you can't even get to your issues. I can get to mine because I don't mind exposing mine. Shit. I'm going to keep it real. I don't care what you say about me. My life is at stake. I ain't in here playing around. Can you imagine me coming back and say, what happened? Well, where the steps at now? That's what they're going to ask questions. I'd rather take my licks in here. So the new guy, the newer guy, the seven-day guy, boy, we got you. Don't you worry about nothing. You're going to go everywhere we go, and you're going to do what we do. They told me, if I go to the bathroom, you better follow my ass in there. That's how we get down here. So that's what 12-step members do. That's what they do. You work with a person off the break. So I was just saying I got excited. I love myself. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to keep coming.